There'll be things to stimulate here.
Okay, so we were discussing last week the issue of the relationship between father and daughter, minor daughter, a daughter underage, with respect to a whole group of halachos that you know, that fall under this category. And we're trying to analyze this relationship and also to assess whether or not there are different manifestations of this relationship. Again, in the complex world of the halakha, we would expect, we would anticipate that a question like this, I'll explain the question in just a minute again, would not have a single answer, but that the perspective would be shaped by various factors, and therefore there would be you know, overlapping issues, but there would also be some, you know, very targeted differences between cases. And we'll see some of that in just a couple of minutes. So what am I talking about? So let's run through the Gemara again very, very quickly, and we'll discuss this in a more concrete way. So the Gemara here says, Bekesef on Gimel Amud Beis. We read it last week, but let me read it very quickly again. The Gemara is interested in the source for Kiddushei Kesef. We already talked about the fact that there seems to be a discrepancy between this discussion here and the previous discussion on that base, in terms of kicha, kicha, mistei afron. Later on, when we get to Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara, we read it actually, we were Kori Lamafrei a little bit last week, so we read a little bit of Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that you need both psukim. We also discussed that various Rishonim understood that in different ways, that there are some, like the Ritva, who insists that ki ikach ishisha is the only real makar, and that the other makar that's discussed in this Gemara, v'yatzachinam, is you know, is there to adjust our information or understanding of a couple of points. But basically, it's only one makar. On the other hand, the Tosa Sadaf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which we also saw last week, the first daya, has a view which suggests that that there are those who think that the Yatzachinam is the Makar. The Gemara here in Dalet Amud Beis says we need both Psukim. Are they equal Makoros, or is there a dominant one? The Rambam himself, you know, again, provides mixed signals on that issue. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Pirush Mishnayos, his tshuva on the topic of Kesef Midivrei Sofrim, always speaks about Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron as the source of Kinyan Kesef Bikidushin. However, in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam actually quotes Sevi Yatzachinam alongside Kiikach. So it's an interesting question. Either way, I tried to explain last week that the perspective might differ considerably if the makar is kigikach ish isha, in which case the pasuk which identifies or which describes kiddushin in the Torah in Parshas Ki Teitzeh is the pasuk which is speaking about kesef. That gives kesef kiddushin a certain prominence. It implies that it is an important hagdara, definition of kiddushin. Whereas if the makar is v'yatzachinam, which is in Parshas Mishpatim, not in the context of Ishus at all. It's in the Parsha of Ama Ivriya, right? And it's a limud, meaning Ein Kesef Ladon Zel Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher Mayniu Ha'av. I mean, it's provides us with information, but if I give you a source which is informational but isn't really descriptive of the category, you can already imagine it's a different kind of a source. Right, I'll know the facts, but I certainly don't get the impression that this is something central, defining, characteristic. On the contrary, you know, it sounds like something that is more oblique, something which is, you know, more peripheral, etc. So this is an interesting topic in its own right. But the bigger discussion that we entered into at the end of last week, and which I want to pick up with today, is not so much on the source itself, but on the range of dinim that, you know, characterize the relationship of father and daughter. So that's what the Gemara says here. Bekesef minolan. How do we know kesef kiddushin? The su, moreover, ahad etznan ha'av zakai bebito bekiddushah bekesef pishtar bebiya, that father merits his daughter's kesef kiddushin. He makes the decision on her marriage, on how she gets married, Minalon, the Mekanya Bekesef. How do we know that Kesef, Kiddushin, works not only in the case of a Gedola, but in the case of a Ketana who is married by means of her father? How do we know that as well? The Kesef Davuan, how do we know that the Kesef is deposited in the father's bank account? Maybe he can decide that she gets married. Maybe he can decide that the methodology is Kesef Kiddushin. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he pockets the Kesef Kiddushin. She's the one who's miskadeshes, maybe she should get the money. And indeed, later on Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says that in Achanami, if we had derived the din of Kesef Kiddushin only from Kiyikach Ishisha, Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, we would have thought that the father, when he marries off his minor daughter, does not get to keep the Kesef Kiddushin. That's an interesting... Now again, is that... reflect two different approaches to A, the relationship, B, Kesef Kiddush? I think it does, obviously. There are other ways to understand it, maybe. But obviously that's an important way to look at it. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav, the Amar Krav Yatzachinam Ein Kesef. So again, this pasuk, which is written by Amar Ivriya, says that when she is given to servitude, and then she leaves that state when she becomes mature, when she becomes a Nara. So at that point, she leaves without any kind of compensation for the Adon. In other words, he invested in her, right? And he loses her services once she becomes a Nara. So that's V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef. And the drasha is, why does it say V'yatzachinam? She goes out free. Ein kesef, she doesn't pay a penny. So why add the word ein kesef? It's like the emphasis is obviously directed at something else. I mean, what bothers the psukim that they have to say twice? She goes out free, not a single penny. What do you mean not a single penny? We just said she goes out for free. So fact we know. What is the emphasis? Because there is a parallel, obviously. I mean, you can look at it in two ways. You can look at it purely factually. This is a drasha, and it's meant to teach you a different halacha. The way I would look at it is, and that's still, of course, true, but there's a certain, literary value to it as well. Meaning, what we're saying is we have an image in our mind of a parallel situation where there is compensation, when there is an exit from a certain jurisdiction, and the double emphasis in Yotzachina, main kesef of the Amma Ivriya case is intended to contrast sharply with that. So it isn't just, oh, extra words, Eino Inyan Lazet, Tino Inyan Lazet. It is that. But the point is that there's a certain parallel, similarity, and the contrast is something which is important for both. So that's really what the Gemara is telling us is the drasha. V'yatzachinam ein kesef, ein kesef ladon zeh, aval yesh kesef ladon acher, umayniu av. That when she, the minor daughter, is going to leave her father's domain by becoming married to someone else, right? In that situation, the kesef kiddushin, call that the equivalent to the compensation, that goes to the father. Okay. But then, if you look at it that way, and this is what I meant before about the conceptually different perspective of Yatzachinam in Kesef Mokar and Kiyikach Ishisha, so the money is not so much focused on the Kiddushin. It's not, that's the Hagdara, that's the definition of Maisa Kiddushin. It's more like an appeasement of a third party. Namely, in order for this Kiddushin of a minor to take place, right, you have to allow for her exit from another jurisdiction. This isn't just between her and her husband, it's between her husband, and her father. So, since that's the case, there's something called Ein Kesef, if you want to keep the parallel with Ein Kesef Ladon Zeh, V'yesh Kesef Ladon Acher Mayniu Ha'av, so the perspective you get on Kesef Kiddushin is that it's not so much related to the Kiddushin as much as it is related to neutralizing the father. And indeed, there are some of the Rishonim who ask, maybe you should think that there's a double Kesef Kiddushin in the case of a minor daughter. Let the father get paid, compensation, for giving up his, financial benefits in his daughter, and let there also be kesef kiddushin to signify, right, the ishus itself, just like there is in gedola where there is no father. Now, we don't hold that way, right, but it's interesting that some of the Rishonim ask that question. It just kind of underscores that, you know, we're looking at this in a very different way. Now, the answers that they give basically say there's only one thing happening here. But is that one thing the father's compensation mostly, or is it, you know, her being married, but her, you know, finances being rerouted into his bank account for the moment? That we find different attitudes on that question. But either way, the Gemara says this libun. Then the Gemara says ve'ema ledida. So the Gemara challenges it. In other words, like, how do you know? Maybe yesh kesef in this yitziyah, but maybe it doesn't go to the father. Maybe it goes to the daughter. Now obviously, if you think it goes to the daughter, it's more about her being the miskadeshes and this being kesef kiddushin, as opposed to being compensation to the father whose rishus she exits. So again, in this dialectic, let's say, of, you know, kesef kiddushin for her and for the kiddushin, kesef kiddushin for the father, the words ve'ema ledida, right, point to this being a more classical kesef kiddushin. But the Gemara knocks it down, and then the question is, what do the words mean when they knock it down? Hachi hashta avia mekabel kiddusheha tichsiv espiti nasati liisha zeh v'ihi shakla kaspa. What? He makes the decision, right? It's his call, and she gets the money? Impossible. So is that a way of saying, what are you talking about? This isn't, you know, kesef kiddushin of her. It's about, it's all about the father's lost benefits and his, you know, loss of jurisdiction. So of course, you know, for the very reason that he gives, that he makes the decision, is also the very reason why he gets the money. Is that what the Gemara means? Right? And we're 180 degree, we're rejecting completely the Ema Ledida. Or are we saying something much narrower and more technical? In other words, you know, Hanami, the Kesef Kiddushin belongs to the Ishus, and therefore to the Miskadeshes, she's the Isha, right? But, in the end of the day, it's still inconsistent to say that he chooses, right, that he decides, and that the money ends up elsewhere. So Lamaisa, he still ends up with his bank account, but not because the Havamina was, you know, completely off base. Then the Gemara says something more interesting. The Ema Hani Miliktana de Leisliyad Le Kabel Kiddushin. Avonar Disliyad Le Kabel Kiddushin Taktish Ihi Nafsha the Tishkol Kaspa. Maybe we should distinguish between a ketana and a nara. Maybe we should say, in a chanami, when it comes to a ketana, the kesef kiddushin certainly belongs to the father. But when it comes to a nara, who is a gedola, meaning she's of age, she's not a bogeres, and that matters with regard to some of these father-daughter issues, but she is a gedola. In other words, she was a yisoma ketana has her hands tied, basically. Meaning, if she's ketana, she can't operate on her own behalf in a an acceptable legal way, you know, at all. She can't be miskadeshes. The only kiddushin of a ketana without a father is what we call kiddushei miyun, right? Which literally means refusal. What it means is that that her mother and brother, right, could marry her off to someone, but that's not a biblical Ishus, that's a drabanan, din drabanan, and she has the right, when she becomes a gedola, it's called mima'enes, that's kedushe miyun, she has the right to say, you know what, I don't like this marriage. I don't need a get, it's not a marriage daraisa, I'm walking away from it. That's because she is a ketana. But a nara yisoma, since she is a gedola, so as long as her father's alive, he has a certain jurisdiction. But if he were not, you know, a factor, she, on her own, would be self-sufficient legally. So now the Gemara is saying, well, for that, you know, even in a situation where he is alive, maybe there's still a different relationship between the Nara and her father, and the Ketana and her father. But what does the Gemara really want here, where the Gemara says, Taktish ihi nafsha, v'tishkol kaspa. So here there's a machlokas I mentioned last time. I want to read it inside now. Yeah?
Wasn't the point of this to try to prove that kesef works? And we proved that kesef works regardless of who gets the money.
Yeah. So now, but no. Remember, there was a double question. It was minalan, or a triple question. Then it was v'suha tetzana, avzaka, bibito, b'kesef, b'kesef, shtar, b'biyah, minalan, de mekanda, b'kesef. How do you know this works in minor also? That's question number two. But then question number three was, v'kesef, davua. And how do you know the father pockets the money? So this part already, we've answered.
Well, why is it critical that the father gets the money? We're just trying to prove the money works.
No. The Gemara asked three questions. Meaning we know that the father gets the money.
Right.
We have a Masorah, we have a, whatever it is. So the Gemara is saying, how do you know three things? How do you know Kesef Kedushin works? How do you know Kesef Kedushin works for a minor? How do you know when Kesef Kedushin works for a minor, right, that he and not she receives the money? So we've answered pretty much question one or two, right? But we haven't, to our satisfaction, answered question three. Because v'yatzachinim ain't kesef, aval yesh kesef ladon acher, only means that there's money. But it doesn't tell us, you know, whose bank account it ends up in. So that's what the Gemara said, eima ladida. So the Gemara said, doesn't make sense, not consistent. Even I was suggesting two ways to read the inconsistency, but it's not consistent. So then the Gemara says, fine, not consistent in a ketana, but maybe consistent in a nara. Okay, so what did the Gemara want with the case of nara? So the Balei Tosas take the view that the Gemara had in mind was that if the father has the right to accept kiddushin for the daughter, even when she's a nara. Right? As long as he's alive, he can do that. Right? But she also perhaps could be miskadeshes on her own, also when she's a nara. So according to Balei Tosas, what the Gemara had in mind was, if the father is mekadesh her, then he certainly gets the money, and as far as that is concerned, it's the same line as before, right? Which was, you know, how does it go? Hoki hashta via makabel kiddusha v'ihi shakla kaspa? Meaning he's making the decision, she's going to get the money. Same idea. So what's the Gemara's suggestion that Nara is different? What the Gemara's weighing is when a Nara takes the initiative and she accepts her own Kiddushin, in that situation, who gets the money? Does the father still get the money? Or at least then she gets the money. Of course, in a way, the bigger Kiddush then seems to be the Maskana, which is that he still gets the money. He gets the money even though she's Makabla. So number one, that line no longer. Now we can understand why the Gemara wants to make the distinction. The Gemara is saying, well, that line doesn't work here. Because he's not the one who's being Makabla Kiddusha. But then how does it work? The answer may be that even though she has a Yad, Lekadesh Esatzma, right, there's still an element of Binureh HaBeis Aviya or something like it, which means that at least financially, right, he still has claims. So the money goes to her and gets, you know, automatically, certain financial things automatically, you know, reroute into his account. Right? That might be very different than the case of Ketana, where it's not just rerouting into his account, but it's kind of his decision, and maybe he's the, you know, the bailim on this you know, transaction, and therefore legitimately the money is his. It's not just his because of his financial rights, and not as a second, you know, second in a secondary way, right? But in a more direct way. Right? So that's what Tosa says here. If you look at the line, it comes up how they get to it is a little bit circuitous, but this is what how Tosa reads the Gemara. Look here, it says Lachain Nirali, on the bottom Tosa on the page, six lines up from the bottom of the page. Everybody have that? Goes six lines up, and it's about a third of the way into the sentence. Okay? Lachain Nirali La'el. Tosa's trying to answer certain very, I'll tell you the questions in a few minutes, but he's trying to, it'll take much more time to just go through this Tosa's trying to answer a certain question. Tosa says, you know what? Let's look at this whole Gemara a little different. Lachain Nirali La'el, that earlier in the Gemara, when the Gemara said, the Eima Hanimili Katana, Klomar, Ktana shayach lasas oso kal v'chomer. In the case of Ktana, the argument of, you know, he makes the decision, he should get the money, the hashta via mekabel kidusheha, ihi tishkal kaspa. Right, he's going to decide, she's going to benefit. Why? Kivin she'ein la klal yad lekadesh atzma. Because she's not making this decision, nor does she have any capacity, right, to make this kind of a decision, because she's a ketana. Aval, however, Nara de Islayad, Nara, who objectively does have the capacity, right, for this kind of a transaction, Ihi taktish nafsha v'tishkol kaspa perush. When somebody says perush, mean i.e., right? Meaning, what do the words mean here? Kivan diyesh lo yad lekadesh atzma. Since she has the ability to dictate her own fate, to accept the kiddushin, iyu kiddushin shelo. Let her also accept the money. Aval emesu, but it's also true. Shegam kishihi nara. Avia Yechola Lakadsha, her father could also take the initiative and marry her off. Ukisha Via Makadsha, Az Yu Hakidushin Shalo. So the Gemara never thought that we were defying the rule that, you know, he decides, you know, he benefits. On the contrary, what they were thinking was that his benefits extend even when she makes the decision. That's the maskana, which means that his reach, right, is even greater than we thought. However, if you look at the Tosas Rid, he learns the Gemara exactly the opposite way. What do I mean by the opposite way? The Tosas Rid says, listen, if she accepted Kesef Kiddushin for herself, the Nara, right, who can, then she should be able to pocket the money. But what the Gemara wants to know is the exact opposite. Maybe since she has the ability to be miskadeshes, if she didn't have a father, only she, even with a father, also she, so maybe we look at him as merely her kind of agent, right? Because she has a yad. So he's working on her behalf, and he makes a decision. He's a super apotropos, something like that. But that means he should get the money? She's a balabayas. So instead of what Tosa says, which is, the Gemara is thinking, is wondering whether he gets the money even when she makes the decision, the Tosa says exactly the opposite. You know, if she makes a decision, she gets the money. But the Gemara is wondering is it so absurd to say he decides and she collects? After all, her capacity to decide, right, redefines, you know, what it means when he decides. He decides as her agent, kind of. Where do I see that? That's the Tosas Rid that we have here in our sheets. Look at page, looks like 4. 4 sounds like a good bet. Do we have 4 pages here? Yeah, okay. Yeah, the last one. Okay. And look at line number 21. Okay? Venerally litarates, she'ena talmud makshe shelo yuchal avia lekadsha. The Gemara never thought that he can't, you know, decide or make the decision to marry her off. That's known that he still has that capacity. Right? The pasuk which says in the case of Motzi Shemra, you know, when he goes, says, I gave my daughter to get married, Rashi says it refers to a state, maybe it refers only when she was a ketana. Okay. But the pashtus of the psukim is, I gave her over to get married even when she was a nar. Okay. V'loki de pirusha mora kigon de kitsha kishi ketana elafilu kishi nara yofinu minei de matzi lakadsha v'al karcha. He has the ability to impose marriage upon her, right, if he so decides, even when she's an Arab. So what's the question? V'hochi maksha. Tina k'tana, v'leis lo yad klal, a k'tana who is incompetent, right? Legally incompetent, right? So, yikadshen avia, right? Everything is in his hands. He will make the decision, and therefore yizaka b'kesef kiddushah. And he'll also collect, right, the kesef kiddushin, because he is the baldovar. Even though the father can impose marriage upon her, not because the Nara is incompetent, she's very competent. If she didn't have a father, she'd be the sole decision maker. And even with a father, she might be able to accept on her own. But he also could. So gam hi tekadesh atzma belidasa av, betishkal ii kaspa, v'yeva zocha shtei adayim, yada via viada. The kivin shigam hi chola lekadesh atzma below dasa av gamin kitshavia lo yizaka bekesef kiddusheva. So it's exactly the opposite. What he's saying is, if she makes the decision, she'll keep the money. But since she has a yad, unlike the case of the ketana, so his role is not viewed in an autonomous way. Right? If he's autonomous, then he should get the money. It's his decision. It's his kesef kiddushin. That's her marriage, right? That certainly no one can deny. But maybe that's not koveya. But in the case of Nara, right? Even though the Torah gave him the ability to make the decision, but he's making the decision for someone who's competent, and for someone who, you know, who is capable of doing this on her own. Surely that affects how we look at his role and how we look at the Kesef Kiddushin as well, perhaps. Now, in this argument between Tosas and Tosas Rid, two opposite ways to read the Gemara, we already have, right, a window into two very different perspectives about daughter-father relationship. In this particular case of Nara. Right. So let's continue the Gemara for a moment, and then let's see if we can find other echoes of this. Now the truth is we already find it in the Gemara itself by virtue of the Gemara's suggestion that we might distinguish between different examples of his, meaning the father's, rights and responsibilities vis-a-vis his daughter. So for example, the Gemara says, Amar Kra, so we still don't know that a Nara, right, will always lose the Kesef Kiddushin, whatever the case may be, between Tosas and Tosas Rid. Amar Kra binurea be'savia, kol shevach nureha lavia. So the Gemara is apparently thinking that based on the pasuk kol binurea be'savia, kol shevach nureha lavia, that's the makor that a Nara, right, has to hand over Kesef Kiddushin to her father. Says the Gemara, Velahod Amar Avuna Amarav Minayin Shemaisa Bas La'av Shenamar V'chiyimkar Ishas Biton La'ama Ma'ama Maisa Yadel L'Rabba Af Bas Nami Maisa Yadel L'Rabba L'Avia Tepeklei Mibinu Reha Be'Savia. There's a Gemara that says that she, right, turns over her paycheck, she gets a job, right, and she's not yet a Bogaris, she turns over her paycheck to her father, right? So where do we learn that from? So the Gemara says we learn it from the fact that he can, if he wants, he can sell her into servitude. So if he can make her an Ama Ivriya, certainly he can pocket her, you know, her work check, right? Why didn't the Gemara say Binura Besavia Kol Shavach, right? Nara Lavia must be Ella. Because the pasuk of Binurah Be'Savia isn't talking about Ma'isi Adayim, and it's not talking about Kesef Kiddushin. The parsha there is the parsha of Hafaras Nedarim. Maybe she makes a neder, her father has the ability to annul her neder. But it's not talking about these other matters. Lest you say, okay, since he is, you know, in charge Right? He has jurisdiction over her Nadarim. He should certainly have jurisdiction over her Maisi Adayim. The answer is not necessarily. Maybe there's a difference between his role in Isurim and his role in Mammon. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara in Avos Rishonim, as I mentioned last week, is that what the Gemara is discussing here is Hafaras Nadarim and Kiddushin. Basically, what the Gemara said was, how do you know Kesef Kiddushin goes to the father? Bin Rebbe Saviyah. Then the Gemara said, what are you talking about? That pasuk is Hafaras Nadarim, because otherwise we would learn Maisei Adayim from it. Right? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, it is Hafaras Nadarim. So then the Gemara says, V'chiteima Nelef Mine, Nelef what Mine? The simple reading of the Gemara is, let's learn Kesef Kiddushin from Hafaras Nadarim. And what's the Gemara's answer? Mamona Miyisur Aloy Alfina. Kesef Kiddushin, which is money, right, cannot be derived from Hafaras Nadarim, which is Iser. However, if you look in the Ramban, which is, I'm guessing, page 3. A second. Yeah, look on page 3, and starting from line 35. The Yesha Pirshu, the Hacha Maisi Adel Kaparich, unlike the view that I just mentioned a second ago, which is that the Gemara was asking, let us learn Kesef Kiddushin from Hafaras Nadarim, and the Gemara's answer is, Mamona, which is Kesef Kiddushin, Me'isura Hafaras Nadarim Layalfina. Everybody with me? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The Ramban says, the Yesh Shapirshu, and the Tosas Reed quotes this as well, the Hacha Maisi Adel Kaparech. Actually, when the Gemara says, let's learn X from Hafaras Nadarim, the X is not Kesef Kiddusha. Because the Gemara is sticking with its Makar and Kesef Kiddusha. Meaning, what happened here? The Gemara says, how do you know Kesef Kiddusha and Anara goes to the father? What's the Gemara's answer? No, the answer is Bin Rabbi Saviya. Right?
The original answer.
Kol Shvachnu Reha Laviya. Then the Gemara says, how, and which means what now? That's the Makar of Kesef Kiddushin. Then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? If that's a good Makar, right, why can't you learn Maisei Adayim from that? Is per paycheck. And we know that we don't learn it from there. We learn it from Ama Ivriya. He can sell her, and therefore he gets her paycheck. Right? Why don't we learn that from Kol Shevach Nurei Leaviya? So the Gemara says, no, we can't learn Maisei Adayim from that Pasuk, because that's the Pasuk of Hafaras Nadarim. Right? And what about the Kesef Kiddushin? So in the mainstream Pshat, this has rocked our world. We no longer have a makar for Kesef Kiddushin. And then the Gemara says, fine, learn a Kesef Kiddushin from it, even though it's Hafaras Nadarim. And then the Gemara's answer is, Mamona Misur Le'ofina. But according to the Ramban's Yesh Shapirshu, that's not what happened. We learned out Kesef Kiddushin from Shvach Nurei Le'avia. And we said, really? If that's such a great makar, why can't we learn Maisei Adayim from there? So the Gemara says, well, it is talking about Hafaras Nadarim. So the Gemara says, so what? Why can't we learn Maisei Adayim from Hafaras Nadarim? So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Because Maisei Adayim is Mamona. And Hafaras Nadarim is Isura. And Mamona and Misura lay off. Okay, why am I making a fuss about this? Then why am I so excited about this Ramban? Because what that means implicitly is, we haven't changed our mind about Kesef Kiddushin. So what that means is that Kesef Kiddushin can be learned out from Hafaras Nadur and the Darim. We don't say Mamona mi Sura Le'afina. Now, of course, the cash, the money, is Mamona. But what it establishes is that although it's Mamona, this isn't a monetary transaction. This is a Yoredeya halacha. It's not a Choshe Mishpat halacha. Maisei Adayim is a Choshe Mishpat halacha. That's the Ramban. Now look at the Ramban. The Yesh Pirshu Dehacha Maisei Adayim Kaparech. That when the Gemara asks the question, let's learn it from Hafaris Nadarim, it means Maisi Adayim, not Kesef Kiddushin. Vadrav Hunakoi, the Omer Minayin Shemaisa Habas Lavia. The Chitema Nalef Maisi Adayim Minadarim. Akati Lamali La'ama, therefore, why do you need to learn out Maisi Adayim from Ama Ibriya? Learn it out from Hafaris Nadarim. The Chitema Nalef Miboshes Ubkam. By a Maksha Rotzalomar, the name. The Hai, the Nureha, Kol Shevach. Nu'urim ka'amar, u'dravuna labdafka, v'dachinan shayne boshes upkam, v'ein lilmod maisi adam yiboshes upkam. All this is about maisa, about maisi adai. U'dravuna dafka, v'akati kesef kiddushim minalam, v'zei yosa nachon, v'loshin tzor l'talmidim, and so on. Vim tomar v'neima nami v'neilef mikesef kiddushin, ikel meimar ha'kvar amarlan de mamona misur logamrina. The Ramban goes even better. The Ramban says, why doesn't the Gemara ask that we should derive ma'isi adayim if she goes to work, that her check goes to her father? Why don't we learn that from kesef kiddushin? So the Ramban says, well, according to this girsa, according to this reading of the Gemara, we know the answer to that. You can't learn out Maisi Adayim from Kesef Kiddushin because Mamona mi Isura Leofina. So now Kesef Kiddushin is Isura. Right? That's quite amazing. Okay. Anyways, what's also interesting is look at the previous Ramban. This whole question of the relationship of father and daughter. This is line 28. In the case of Ketana, in the case of Ketana, of course the father has to retain the kesef. Ramban's explicating this very, very clearly. The father is not acting on her behalf. V'lo machmas shlichus. It's not a form of shlichus. Sharehi ein la lo yad v'lo shlichus. She's a ketana. Right? So, it basically, the decisions that he makes are betoras the bailim. Again, he's not in this marriage, but in the end of the day, deciding on the marriage of his minor daughter, and therefore the kesef kiddushin, is b'toras bailus. It's not a yad. It's not a kind of Torah-created, exceptional apotropsis or shlichus. It's basically his domain. Aval nara de isla yad. Nara, if she didn't have a father, she'd be totally independent. Right? And even with a father, she has certain rights. So eima de matzi nami ihi Likdushe nafsha, she can marry herself up. Be'ihi tishko kaspa, kishihi kidsha satsma. Right? Maybe she should get the money when she is miskadeshes herself. Ube'ina lemifshat me'afar sadarim shakol b'rshus ha'av. She'ilu hoysa b'rshus atzma klal ho v'nidra midaita hechiafar ha'av. And that's what we're trying to learn from. Afar sadarim, don't think the Nara is so independent and that her father, is just a rooting of a bank account. The chein nami mikesef knasa nami yadina dil olim kesef avadav. The kim chakein vada ihi lo mekabli kiddushe. The echav shoshehi mekabeles kiddushe v'avi shakol kaspa. So again, what's going on here is that there is a really interesting discussion and an effort to pin down, what exactly the father's role is vis-a-vis his daughter, his Ketana daughter, and his Naran daughter. And there are different ways to formulate this. And possibly in the Gemara it's implicit, Mamona, Isura, we'll see in a moment, Knossa, Boshes Upgam. Maybe the answer isn't the same in all cases. In some cases, he's like the super Shliach. In other cases, it's really her life, her, fate, and it's just, a monetary benefit that the Torah gave him, even though it's not really his, action, right? He's just operating on her behalf or in her interest. And in some cases, it's even more nuanced than that. So that's exactly what's going on in the Gemara here, where the Gemara is saying, listen, there's a slew of dinim where the father has rights over his daughter. But certainly, if you only had one makar, you wouldn't know them all, because there's good reason to distinguish. You have to wonder, now that we do know, based on different makaros, that this right expresses itself in numerous different halakhos, that doesn't mean that they're all the same. Right? It could be in some cases a kind of shlichus, in other cases it's the opposite, something in between, and so on. So that's the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, V'chitei minelef minei mamona misur le'ofinim. We discussed it. Then the Gemara says, V'chitei minelef miknasa. What about the fact that he collects her knasos? If she was nensa, if she was subject to pitui, other knasos, as long as she's a ketana, right? Even a nara, the father is the one who receives the knas. So the Gemara says again, mamona miknasa le'ofinim. Could have distinguished. What about anything that comes to her based on nezek or boshes, humiliation? So the Gemara says, "Shaina boshes ubgam dabu ashayich begavayu." Now, what does that mean? The father has a special role to play, it seems, in boshes ubgam. So there are two ways to read that I mentioned last week. One is that, you know, her humiliation is the family's humiliation, and by extension, certainly even more particularly or acutely, the parents' humiliation. And we have echoes of that, right, in the halacha. Right? You know, if she behaves improperly, you know, so the parents are kind of implicated. Ru'u gidulim shegidalta. Right? By the same token, if she's falsely accused, or if she is humiliated in some way. I mentioned last time, you know, the discussion of Shimon, the very pointed discussion of Shimon and Levi and Yaakov Avinu, right, about, you know, HaKazono Nasa Achoseinu, is this the way to treat, you know, a member of Yaakov's family, right? There's, you know, what happened to her, and also the reputation of the family, you know, in both directions. Yaakov Avinu was worried in the other direction, right? Achartem osi leinei kol haaretz. So, there is that perspective, namely that what happens to her has a special impact on the father, right? Not as her shliach, but as the head of the family, or as somebody responsible for her, you know, for her well-being, right? Who is particularly damaged, right? Or hurt by what happens to her. So that's a special din, shiny boshes ubkam davia shaykh begavai. There's another way to look at this, the more mainstream way, and that is based on the Gemara in Masachet Ksuvos, which is that the special idea here is the fact, look at Rashi, davua shaykh begavayu, sheyesh lo din chelek bahen. He has a special part when it comes to boshes and begam, sheyesh biyado levaisha ulapogma, because her humiliation, right, her reputation is anyways in her father's hand. That's totally different from what I said a second ago. Bishvil mamon sheyitnu lo di bay masar la lemenuva lemukashkin, right, to have a boshes and begam. He could marry her off to some low life, right, if he wants. So her reputation is totally in his hands at that point. Now the problem with that is that's a Gemara in Ksuvos. Obviously that commends very highly that reading of this point in the Gemara. The problem is, this is what Tosis and Tosis read and all the Rishonim were bothered by. Very simple question. And that is, look at the beginning of Tosis. V'chitema, ne'elof miboshes upgam. Tosis says, Tema. Hecha boy lemeimer ne'elof kidusha miboshes upgam. Haboshes ubgam gufa le'adinan shehin la'av ela mikidushin. Tomer besof perik alon iris di boy masala menuval umukashkin. There's a certain circularity if you read the Gemara this way. And that is, the Gemara wants to know, maybe, how do we know the kesef kidushin goes to the father? Let's learn it out from boshes ubgam. Right? And then the Gemara says, boshes ubgam, that's a special connection to the father. Why is it a special connection to the Father? Because he can marry off to whoever he wants. Right? How do we know that? And that he gets the money for it. That's exactly what we're trying to learn now. So that's why there were some Rishonim who tried to break this equation. And that's why they came up either with a different pshat or this problem of Nara in a case where she's miskadeshes herself as opposed to where he is and so on. Yeah.
Isn't Moshe to become separate and distinct from Kedushin? I mean, she can be humiliated having nothing to do with Kedushin.
Right. 100%. No, when we say Moshe to become, we don't only mean in a situation where she was married. What we're saying is, I mean, the Gemara in Ksuvos is saying that he has the ultimate, weapon
to marry her off.
To marry off to some lowlife,
yeah.
which will embarrass her, forever and ever. And he can do that and pocket the Kesef Kedushin for it or whatever, and therefore that this is his, domain. But we don't mean to say that that's the only boshes that we're talking about here. Therefore, anything having to do with her personal reputation and any monetary compensation for her nezek, including boshes, is something that the father collects. Because it's an area where legally he has the right, again, he'd have to be an awful father, obviously, but it's within his rights. So we're not limiting it to that case, but we're saying that that case highlights, either reflects or causes his jurisdiction in this area. Okay? Either way, then the Gemara says, Ela mistabra, dechi kamemait, yitzia dekavasei kamemait. That really, the reason that we know the money goes to him, even in the case of Nara, is because if the makar is v'yatzachina men kesef, then the parallel between the Odon and the father also dictates whose bank account we're talking about. Who would have received money if there was compensatory payment in the case of Adon? It would have been the man whose jurisdiction she's leaving, namely the Adon. So in parallel, who is the proper, bank account in the case where she leaves the jurisdiction of the father? The father. So that's what the Gemara says. Yitzia the kavasah kamemai. Says the Gemara v'halodami, ha-yitzia la-ha-yitzia. Maybe you can't compare these two exits. Because hasam nafkala mishus adon lagamri. When she leaves as an ama, when has simanim, she leaves completely. There are no continuing ties to the adon. V'hacha kati mechasra m'sira l'chupa. Right? But here, the father retains some clout over her. So since it's not an absolute exit, maybe we should say that it breaks the equation of the yitzia de kavasei kamemai, says the Gemara. Still, there are areas where already, he has lost his clout. And that is Bafaris Nadarim. Bafaris Nadarim, mia nafkala mershuse. That's not nar marasa, avia obala, mefirin, Nidogah. Okay? So that's the shot of the time. So I want to continue to discuss the status of the father and the daughter, just to show you that it is really a complex relationship, but that we really do have these ingredients, kind of competing with each other. In other words, is he operating on her behalf, kind of a super shliach that the Torah, allows for? After all, he's the exclusive one, he's a mitzuraf to her. Maybe it's a very reasonable break from the normal notion that ein, ktana yichola lios mishaleach. I would also add that this question comes up in a few different contexts, including issues about the possible role of the ktana in her own kiddushin. The Gemara later on in Daf Tes, and then later after that on Yud Tes, this seems to discuss the cases where she, the ketana, plays a role in her kiddushin. And since she can't be a shliach for her father, because ain't shliach l'ketana, the question is, how could that be? And there are all sorts of explanations that are given. But the Rosh, in particular, both on Tess and Yutess, takes the view that since, in a way, she is acting for herself by acting for her father, that's an exception to the rule of Ein Shlichus L'Ktana. No, it's typically we say that a Ktana cannot be a Shliach. It's in a situation where, you know, she's a, you know, a third party. But here we're talking about, let's not lose sight of the fact, her playing a role in her own Kiddushin, which she doesn't have the ability to do on her own, true, which her father, right, controls. But we're talking about her playing a role in that. So the more you think that the father also is kind of Minat Torah, has this power to operate on her behalf as a kind of a, you know, an unnamed shliach, or where there could be no other shliach, or where there's a natural, propensity that, you know, for this case and for this interest, the more we can also understand not only her ability seemingly to be a kind of mishaleach without a minui, that she couldn't have the minui because she's a ketana, but also her ability to be a kind of shliach for herself, for her father, in this case. Yeah, looks like you had a question.
In that case, wouldn't that be the same thing with a kata? Where he's acting part, well, let's say, on his behalf and on his father's behalf?
But, again, the issue is that this particular relationship that the father can be is a special din in the father and the katan. We don't really find a parallel. A father cannot marry off his katan child. He can't. The katan is not miskadesh min haTorah at all. A katana can because of her father's influence. That's a special father-daughter connection. So it's reasonable, you know, to draw the line there for this kind of thing as well. I'm not saying it's impossible otherwise, but it's not, you know, nearly as compelling. Okay? So, having said that, there's a whole bunch of issues here. For example, the Gemara speaks about, the Yerusha of her Knas. Let's say, the father dies. Einan Amorish Knas Bito Labanov. Right? We'll see an aspect of it in the Rambam derived in just a second. So it's an interesting issue. Do we treat that Yerusha, right, the same way that we would treat other Knossos that the father would pocket, but he dies? Right? Or is the fact that she, you know, was the trigger of this Knas, does that matter in this particular case? Is that just what we call a hechatimtzi? Meaning it's a fact, you know, that set up the case, but it's all about him? Or no, it's never all about him. It's really either all about her, and the father just has tremendous powers, you know, of representing her interests, or, you know, something in between. You know, maybe he's the financial boss, but it's her, you know, it's her life and her body and her reputation and her status, you know, in which case it's just much more complex. So those are the kind of things that we need to look out for. So I want to show you a couple of Rambams and then another discussion, Rashi and Tosas, where you get some sense of this. And my bigger point is that while the questions are parallel, namely you have this father, right, of a minor daughter, we're trying to figure out what is his role, what is her role, you know, are they competing, is it all about him, practically all about her, is there some real division? But the bigger point I want to make is that since there are competing factors here, it's very reasonable that we should make distinctions, not only between a katana and a nara, not only between mammon and isur, right, but between other halachic factors as well. Meaning it's not simple, and there's good reason, you know, the more we see money, you know, as a factor in its own right, as opposed to just be the way in which the Torah happens to, you know, manifest, you know, onesh in certain cases, like knossos. You know, if you see money as mamona, or you see mamona, you know, in some cases as isura, that's going to affect this question. as are other factors. So let me look at a few of them to highlight this. So let's go back for a minute look at the Rambam. The first one, the Rambam and the Raibid, on page 1, in Huksnar Basula Perik Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay. So here, we have a discussion in the Rambam about Moda B'miktas. Moda B'miktas, as you know, is a case where A, you know, charges B, you know, he claims that B owes him, you know, some money. You know, and B, instead of denying it all, right, admits partially that he owes. He admits part and he denies part. That's called Moda B'miktas. Typically, a Moda B'miktas is Chayav V'Shvua. But the rule here, the background here to know, is that the Tviya, the Taina, right, the claim has to be made by the baldover, by the legitimate party, you know, in the case. If, you know, somebody else cannot do the taina for you, right? Okay. So the Gemara says, Amrlo, she, meaning the victim, turns to the aggressor, the perpetrator, whatever you want to call them, and says, Anasta osi, she takes him to court, she says, you did this terrible thing to me, right? And who omer? Loki, elapasisi. I'm not a tzaddik, you know, but I wasn't involved in ones, I was involved in pitui, I took advantage of you, but it wasn't forcibly, right? Harezanish, and there's a difference between ones and pitui in terms of the, you know, consequences. Therefore, he's admitting some consequences and denying others, which on one level is moda b'niktas. So the Rambam says, Hareza nishba shvuas haTorah. There's a moda b'niktas here, and therefore there is a chiyuv shvuas haTorah. Al dmei atzar, the amount of tzar, there's a tzar element in pitui, right? Umishalem boshes upgam, shari hoda b'niktas hataini kamosh yizbar b'mekomo, says the Raivid. Amar Avram, skip a line, this is line 4. Ein kan shvua. There's no shvua here. Levisha ein kan toveya. Because the tviya, right, is not coming from the baldavar. Shatashlumin einan shalah. The money doesn't go to her bank account, it goes to his bank account, I mean the father's bank account. Ukemo, and therefore this is comparable to Mana la'aba biyadacha. Let's say somebody goes to, she says, oh, you owe my father $100. Right? So that's not motive b'miktas. Only the father can make this claim. Now it gets really interesting. So the Raivid says, basically, what's the Raivid saying so far? The money goes to the father. He's the baldavar l'inyan, the taina. Is that so obvious? No, it is obvious that the money goes to the father. Right? But does that mean that he is the baldavar? Not so obvious at all. Right? Because maybe that's the idea that when she's a ketana or a nara, right, financially she doesn't have her own bank account. Right? He supports her. Therefore any finances, right, any finances get rerouted into his account. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the mechayev, that he's the bailin. The Raivid thinks one of two things, right? Either the fact that he receives the money shows that he is the bailin, per se, right? Or that even if there are two factors here, maybe she's even ikar, or equal at minimum, still, motive miksas depends on the bailin le'inyan kabbalas ha-kasef, not necessarily the mechayev of the kasef, or the mechayev of the maisa. But then he adds, v'im ta'an avia, let's say this case had been different. Let's say the father took this guy to court. Afshar she'yia zehadin. Notice he didn't say vadai. Right? If he felt that she was just a hechatimsi and he was everything, then it shouldn't be afshar. Sounds like he's a little bit you know, mistapek here.
When yes, when no.
What?
When yes, when no.
What do you when you?
The FJ implies that possibly no.
Right, meaning not her, not her, and not him.
No, in other words, that the Machayev isn't necessarily obligated to the follower.
Right, it sounds like that's what he's not sure about. She may not have sufficient clout to make this taina, but maybe he doesn't either. Right? Efsha Shia Zendin, maybe. Right? And then when he says the rest is very hard to read. So there are different yourselves, and I'm not going to get into that because it doesn't help.
In the case of Onus and the father, with the father standing there, the father's got to be the one. If he's going to testify, he had to have been there.
What do you mean testify? He can't testify. He's
so
a beginner.
He's making the taina.
What do you mean?
The father's the one that's making the taina, according to this. He said that in Tan Avi, if the father was making
the No, the Rabbit is saying the case of the Rambam is that she makes the claim. The Rambam says that that is more to the mikzas. The Ravid said, now the Rambam doesn't deny that that the father gets the money.
Correct.
He just thinks, who cares? There's no halacha that the money recipient is the Mechayev, and she's the Mechayev. That's the Rambam Shita. The Ravid says, either whoever gets the money is the Mechayev, is the Koveya for the Tviya, or the fact that he gets the money shows that he's the Mechayev. But then he says, that would be the father, right? But then, instead of saying, and if the father did this, of course he'd get the money. Of course it would be more than mixas. Now, he doesn't say that's wrong, but he says, Efshar. Which means that he has a little doubt in the back of his mind as well. Maybe neither of them is a full enough independent Toveya. That's what he's saying. But what's fascinating here is if you look at the at another Rambam, there seems to be a steer on the Rambams. Look on number 34. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, Parak Ches Halacha Gimel. Rambam says, HaToveh Eschaver B'davar Sheish B'Knas. If you bring somebody to court on a matter of Knas, meaning a penalty, not Mamon, She'enu Mishalim Osa Al Piatzmo K'moshe B'Yarnu. One of the characteristics of Knas, as we know, is that Motu B'Knas is Patur. If the person admits in court that he did whatever it is that triggers the Knas, he exempts himself. Right? Because we say, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, we talked about it a lot last year in Sanhedrin, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, V'lo HaMarshia Esatzma, Motu B'Knas is Patur. Right? So, HaTovei Eskav Ebrid Ovesh Yesh B'Knas, if I bring it to court and I say, you owe me a Knas. Right? There's a problem. Because if he admits it, right, he's potter. He doesn't have to pay it. Shena Mishalim Mosal Piatzma Kosha Biyarnu. But what about if Yeshba Mamon, right, Shemishalim Mosal Piatzmo? Let's say I accuse you of a crime, which has two components, a Knas component and a Mamon component. The Kafar B'chol Davar, and he denied it all. Benishba, right, and he took a Shvuah. Denying it all. Since here it's a case where he is stealing from the guy, pretty much, by denying everything. Right? Ketzad, for example. Tivao v'amarlo anasta opatita biti. Right? You did this to my daughter. Right? Which means that you have to pay money. To me, knas, but you also have to pay tsar and boches, right? Some mamon too. V'hu amar lo anasti v'lo patiti. I didn't do anything. And he took a shvua, the nishba. So the din is, chayiv b'shvua sapikadon. Why? Shafal pi shenu mishalim knas al piatzmo. Even though the knas part, he can't be chayiv b'shvua sapikadon on knas, because had he admitted, he would have been potter anyway. So the shvur, the false shvur didn't gain him anything. Shvur sabikadon is a kind of a gezel ayde shvur, right? And there has to be a benefit. I mean, I have to have benefited from lying. But if I would have admitted it, I would have been exempt. And now that I deny it, I'm exempt. So you can't be chayim for that. But Af al bishen b'shalim knas al piatzmo ilu hoda hayim b'shalim boshes of gam al piatzmo. That party would have paid, and therefore, by denying it al yedei shavua, right, he violates shavua sapikado. V'chein omer l'chaveru ganav t'shori v'hu omer lo ganavti, right, similar case, right. So there's a kefel part, and there's a karen part. So v'nishba, the guy swore, right. Chayiv shavua sapikado. Shal pishen b'shalim kefel b'hodasa m'shalim u'karen b'hodasa. So the question, Achronim asks this question. They say, isn't this Rambam against the Rambam in Hilchos Nara Basula? Right? In Nara Basula, the Rambam seemed to think that the daughter is the one who brings the Anas or the Mefata to court. Because the other Rambam says that she can trigger Motiv Mixus. The Raivid said, not her, maybe the father. Right? But when it comes to Shulis HaPikadon, it seems like he, the father, is getting, you know, is making the accusation. It's a slightly different case. This isn't Motiv Mixus. This is a case where he made an accusation, the person responded by lying, you know, with a shvua, and we're talking about Shulis HaPikadon here. But what's the Stin Torah about? Who's the Baal Din Torah here? Right? The Chain, that's one more second, look at Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. Now, Perkhes, what did we just read? Perkhes Allah Gimel? Perkhes of the Rambam, Michel Shavuos, is the Perik, that's the chapter that deals with Shavuos HaPikado. Shavuos HaPikado is where you take a Shavua, and by lie in, you lie about, you know, you use a Shavua basically to reinforce a theft. That's called Shavuos HaPikado. That's dealt with in the fifth chapter of Masechet Shavuos. And it's dealt with in the seventh and eighth chapter of Hilchos Shavuos in the Rambam. For some reason, which is very intriguing, the Rambam switched the order of Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdus in his Yad HaChazaka from the Prakim in Masechet Shavuos. In Masechet Shavuos in Perek Dalet, before Perek He, is Shavuos HaEdus. The Rambam deals with that in Perek Tes, later instead of earlier. Now that can't be a coincidence, and that can't be, you know, haphazard. But anyways, that's not a problem right now, but it's just something to know. Anyways, in the context of Shavuos HaEdus, the Rambam has a parallel situation. But Shavuos HaEdus is a slightly different Shavua. What it is the there's a party, right, who demands, right, testimony to uphold a claim or to preclude a loss, you know, that otherwise he will suffer. Right? So he goes to a certain individual or to a group of individuals or two individuals, and he says, I know you guys, or I think you guys, or swear to me that you don't know testimony in this case. And if they lie with a shvua, as they say, hereby take an oath, we know nothing. And it turns out they're liars. That's called a violation of Shavuos HaEdus. Right? Right in the beginning of you know, Parshas Vayikra, we have the Parsha of Shavuos. V'hu Eid, or Ra Yoda, right? You know, but he doesn't admit it, and he denies it b'Shavua. That's called the Shavuos HaEdus. He brings a korban, etc. Okay. That's the background. So what is the case? The Chein HaMashbi'a Eidei Knas, again, let's say, I want to bring these two Edom to court because I know they were there. I know they know. They don't want to get involved. So I want to impose upon them a Shavuos HaEdus, right, to force them to testify. About what? A Knas case. Right? Well, what's the big deal? There's no Hefsed Mamon in a Knas case because if I take the guy to court and he admits it, right, he's Patur. So if Chein HaMashbi'a Eidei Knas v'Kafru, right, if the Edom denied it, that they knew anything, Peturim, and then it turns out that they did, Peturim Mishvuos HaEdus, right? Mibnei Shem Kidem Hanitva Vahoda B'Knas Yipater Melashalim V'Alpha Vishabo Edom Achakach Ve'edu Nimsa Edom Lochivu Zeh Ve'edusan Levada Eleidusanim Kfiras Hanitva Hiyamachayev Esosan. I mean, he didn't lose only because of the Edom, he lost because the Edom didn't come, and also because the other guy was Moda. Behold, imo de lo toel edusan, right? Im kafir ba v'nishbu p'tur. However, says the Rambam, mashbiacham anisha tavol v'tidus sheish biad ploni tashlume keifa v'tashlume dalg v'hei v'kafiru chayavim v'shuasa edus. But if you have the following knas case, I say, come, testify that he did tvicho mechira, he owes me kefel, gneva, or dalad v'hei, right? And the guy, the item, deny it, they will be chayav shuas eidos. Why? B'nei Karen. Because when I say you stole my money, and then you did tvicho mechira, right? So there is a knas element, but there's also a Karen element. Right? Shehu mamon. Lo b'nei kefel shu knas. The chayin imish biyam sheyivlo shanas ploni o pita bito. Same case as before, but in Shua Seida's version, the guy comes and he says, "I want you guys to testify about the ones and the pitui of my daughter, which you witnessed." The kafru, right? And they say we don't know anything about it. And it turns out they lied. Chayavim b'Shua Seida's. Why? Because in addition to the knas part, there's also boshes and pagam. He flips the two cases. So I don't know why. That I really don't know why. In Shuas HaBikaron he has the same two cases, but in the opposite order. It doesn't matter for now. In both Shuas HaBikaron and Shuas HaEdus, the Rambam's cases are, they could just as easily have been cases, by the way, where she tried to drag these Edom into court. Right? Or where she demanded that the perpetrator admitted and took a shvua. Instead, there are cases where he did. So some of the Achronim just note this. They're like, what's going on here? How come in Nara Basula she's the Toveya? And in Shuas HaBikaron and Shuas HaEdus, he's the Toveya. So I think that there can be two approaches here. Hard to know. One is that they're not mutually exclusive, and in a way it's almost like the opposite of the Ravid. Right? The Ravid wasn't sure whether either of them are going to be Balei Dvarim. He says she's certainly not the Baldavar, because he gets the money. He, the father, gets the money. And then he writes, the Efshar, unless we're not Medayik in the language, but maybe the maybe here is a good chance. I don't know, but it's definitely not bavadai. If he were to bring them to court, maybe that would be motive amixas. Efshar. I mean, maybe neither of them. Why? Because neither of them is the complete baldavar. So is it possible that the Rambam holds exactly the opposite? Either of them is the baldavar. He's the baldavar because he gets the money. She's the baldavar because it happened to her. Right. In other words, the argument isn't so much about the relationship of father and daughter in these cases, as much as it is what is the threshold requirement of a baldavar, in these issues. That's one. The other possibility is that there's a difference between motive and mikzas on the one hand, and shuas ha-pikadon and shuas ha-edus on the other. Now, the truth is we could have distinguished between shuas ha-pikadon and shuas ha-edus too, possibly, although in which direction is also a question. We're not studying Shavuos right now. But let me just say it this way. There is good reason to think that in the case of Shuas HaPikadon and of Shuas HaEdos, that there's an outsized role for the actual concrete Hefzed Mamon. Reb Chaim says something very similar about Shuas HaPikadon, that the Gezel is the Mechayev, the Hefzed Mamon is the Mechayev, particularly when he talks about a very different question about the relationship between Shibud Nechasim and Shibud Aguf, but Reb Chaim in the Chibur in Perek Ches of Shavuos talks about Shavuos HaPikadon being a different kind of a Shavua, and supplementing that with things that are known in Reb Chaim's name, the Piyas Shavua, makes a great deal of sense. What I'm trying to suggest is as follows: maybe for the Rambam, when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdus, which are heavily connected to Hefzed Mamon, and where the monetary part, in other words, isn't just a punishment, right? But it really is, it's the Mechayev of Shuas HaEdus and of Shuas HaPikadon. So there, the father's the Baalim. Because everybody agrees that Lamaisa, the Foal, The money goes into his account. So he is the bailim for this. But a moda b'niktas may be about the actual mechayiv in the case. And that may be hers. Right? So this would be a very nuanced distinction. You know, when you ask the question of the dynamic between father and daughter, in the same case, right? Onus and pitui. Everybody agrees he collects the money. Right? There's an argument between the Rambam and the Ravid. No, on Modem and Mikzas. And there may be a distinction that the Rambam himself has made in the same cases. Between the father and the daughter, which one is the dominant figure, depending on whether we're talking about to trigger a Shavuos Modem and Mikzas, or to be chayiv for a false Shavua of Shavuos HaPikadon or Shavuos HaEdos. Okay? So let me give you another example. Oh, it's late. Let me at least give two more very quick. What is the language of the Rambam in Perek Yudzayin and in Perek Beis of Snar Basula Halacha Yudzayin? Just give me another couple of minutes since we have a 2-week hiatus. I don't want to leave this for then. So, line 20 on page 1. A very remarkable Rambam. Don't get disturbed because it's the Rambam precluding what somebody might have thought. But it's a pretty disturbing thought, frankly. And the question is, you know, it's certainly disturbing and wrong, but I guess the question really is, how wrong is it? Legally, how wrong? Conceptually, how wrong is it? But with that kind of an introduction, it better be good, right? So this is line 20. I think we talked a little bit about it earlier in the year, or made reference to it, the issue of Kadesha. The Rambam says here, Ani Omer, it's already pretty good. I mean, the Rambam, Ani Omer, right? He's putting himself out there in the Yalach HaZaka. You know, this is what I'm thinking. Shezeh shenemar b'Torah al techalel esbitcha lahaznosa. Right? Shelo yomar ha'av. I know, a father should never be thinking, you know, ho v'lochiva Torah mefata v'ones ala she'itein mamon la'av. Let's say she goes through this terrible experience, right? Pitui or ones. So what happens? Right? There's a knas. And who gets the knas? The father. So hareini socher biti abesula lazeh lavo alal b'chol mamon she'ertza. So maybe this means this is my domain, right? And I can benefit financially, you know, in this kind of very heinous way. Obviously, as I say, it's a pretty frightening thought. O aniach zeh lavo aleha b'chinam, right? Maybe you can walk away thinking that onus and pitu is just about money. And if I want to be mochel on the money, right? He's not talking about anything in particular. He's talking about how one could have approached this question. The Torah thinks that this is absolutely wrong. It's true there's no malchus, because it's mikra, right? And it's, you know, nobody, you know, intended this. So for whatever reason, that eliminates it. It's not considered a malchus offense. And it expresses itself as a knas. Lekach. Shedavar zeh, eino hoved tamid, eino matzui, avalim yiniach zeh bito abesula mochenes chomish yavo ala. But if he did this intentionally, and with regularity, gorim shetamale ha'aret zima, v'nimsav nose bito, ba'ach nose achoso. Number one, it's a horrible thing. Number two, the consequences in terms of, you know, bilbul ha'yichus is a disaster and a nightmare. Presumably it doesn't just mean in a pragmatic way, but, you know, this is all part of the moral outrage part. Shim tisabe v'telel le'edem ben mihu, amechem bito lakachar ikdesha, the loka above on niveles, mishum lotia kdesha, the inconscient shaltiva tor knas alonus mfata, and so on. If we haven't discussed it extensively, based on the things that we have discussed, you should know, and I definitely have referred to it, that of all Rishonim, the Rambam was the most adamant that there is no relationship outside of marriage. Even, you know, Pilegesh is only a melech, right, as we discussed. The language of the Rambam, Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishas Halacha Dalid, echoes the language that he begins with in Perek Aleph Halacha. You think, when you read the beginning of Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, you think like, oh, there must be a misprint, you know, and the publisher, you know, just, you know, mistakenly, you know, wrote over Perek Aleph Halacha. Kodem Matan Torah, Haya Pogei Adam Isha Bishuk, right, Ratzahu Ratzah, but then he shifts into, he's really talking about Kadesha. The Rambam says, but Misha Nitna Torah, it's a different halacha, but it's written exactly the same way for a very good reason, in my opinion, the cadences. He wants you to remember what he wrote in Aleph Aleph. In Aleph Aleph, he's telling you, don't mistake Jewish marriage and Ben Noach, or pre-Matan Torah marriage. Right? It's a different animal. Right? It isn't just, you know, we fortified it a little bit. Now it's a Davar Shebikdusha, it requires Edikiyum, it requires Erisim Kodim, that's all the things that we discussed earlier in the year. In Perek Aleph, Aleph Adalit, he's telling you, right, you know, pre-Matan Torah, if somebody wanted, you know, if there was consensual agreement between a man and a woman to have this kind of a, you know, relationship, and maybe even a long-term relationship, you know, that would be fine. But Mishanit na Torah, you should know, anything outside of marriage, there are two ways to read the Rambam, but this is the way I'm reading the Rambam, this is the way some of the Nosek can read the Rambam, is Nus. Anything that isn't Kiddushin is Nus. So then Ravid says, what are you talking about? I mean, Kadesha is Bakroi, it's not a long-term relationship, that might not be Ishus, but, you know, it's not Znus. Moreover, isn't that Pilegesh? But if you look at the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Svalachim, the Rambam says that Pilegesh is limited to a Melech.
What?
That a Pilegesh is limited to a Melech. And that's because to a Melech, it's a kind of a Kenyan. But to no one else is it a Kenyan, and therefore it's the equivalent of Znus. I mean, the Rambam is the most harsh. For the Rambam, anything extramarital, with the exception of Pilegesh, which is a kind of a Miksas, quasi-married, for the Rambam, as opposed to the Ravid, this is Lushitasa, the 18 wives that a king is allowed to have include his Pilegeshes. Because the Pilegesh is a form of marriage. Only for Melech. Anyways, there's much more to say about that. But what I'm trying to make here is that this is part of that Rambam, this Rambam in Arbasula is part of that. So the Rambam is saying, you might have thought, this is all just about money, it's about consent, like in modern... Right, there's no ethical element, no moral, there's just consent. You know, and whatever people agree to. Right? And he's saying, Chas v'shalom, it's not. But what am I telling you this now? The takeaway for now is, you might think, Adi Omer, like, you know, that when this father's is thinking aloud, he's saying, well, if it happens, the money goes to my bank account, right? So maybe I can make a business out of this, Chalila, right? Now it's wrong, and it's Asur, but is it Asur because it's Asur, because of all these other elements, the Kiddush elements alone? It also might be Asur because it's true that he gets the money in his bank account, right? That doesn't mean that he's the full Bailim on all of this. That's not so simple, especially in light of what he writes about Bona B'miktsas, right? So there's a whole other issue here that I wanted to bring up, and that is the father collects the ksuva of his minor daughter, right? As long as she is divorced, mina erusin. Okay? So the Gemara later on in ksuva, not later on, the Gemara in Masechet Ksuvos, and of Ayin Hey, Mishnah, and then Ayin Vav. The Gemara there says, what if there's some dispute about Mumin? Right? We're not sure, like the woman has Mumin. Mumin that, you know, would dictate that he shouldn't have to pay Ksuva. But we're not sure if these Mumin developed later or earlier. Right? So the Mishnah says, it depends. If she's Oda Bebe Savia, right? Which the Gemara later on thinks means if it happened during Erusin, right, then the, you know, the proof, you know, is on the, we impose, here, let's read the language of Mishnah, and I will stop. One more minute. Here. This is on page 2, number 14. Hayubamumin va'ona bebeisaviya ha'av tzarachaviraya. Shemishinis arsa, right? Hayubamumin alalu. In the stopka sadeu. That's when he married her to him. She didn't have these mumin, and it was a proper marriage. There was no tohus. And then she developed these mumin. His bad luck. But the father has to prove, the burden of proof is on him. The presumption is, right, that she's an arusa, and she's beisaviya, and she has mumin, that she had these mumin before. On the other hand, nichnasolishas habal tzarachlavi raya, she'ad shalonisar soyebamumala elu. If it's after nisuin, and she's living with her husband, and it turns out that mumin, right, so the presumption, then he has to prove that it was a mekach tos. Okay. So the Gemara goes back and forth, what's going on here? Do we rely on a cheskas hagof? If we don't, just give me one more minute. Look at line 24. Rav Ashi Amar, Reisha mana la'aba biyadacha, Seifa mana li biyadacha. Reisha is a case where the father is making the claim, or the claim is being made on behalf of the father. Right? She says, I didn't have mumin. But it's to collect, the father is the one who's going to collect the ksuva. The Seifa mana li biyadacha, says Rashi. Rav Ashi Amar Mahadu Nami Leukma Kula Karabin Gamliel the Chazaka the Gufa Adifa. We do care about her Chazaka, which is that she didn't have Mumin. But Reisha LaHachila Mahani Chazaka the Guf. Why should we assume that she always had Mumin? Right? She should be Becheskas Ein Mumin, and that they just developed later. The answer is Lefi Sheina Taina Shala Ella Shala Via. Because when she's an arusa and the father is the one who's going to collect the ksuva, so she claiming that these mumin only came later is making the claim of the cheskas haguf on behalf of her father, because he's the one, right, whose financial interests are at stake here. She ksuva seirus la'ab. Avali mana la'aba biyadacha. She's not saying mana li, right? She's making a claim on behalf of her father. So this is a very interesting question on two levels, and I just want to bring it up and then we'll stop. You know, there's much more to say, and then Tosus has like a different read, and then there's another famous Gemara about Yana HaMelech and Kedushin Samachay. There are two issues. One is, we're talking about her cheskas haguf, her presumptive status as not having mumin when she was born, and therefore had developing them at the latest time possible. Right? What does it have to do with who makes the claim? Or who benefits from the claim? Her or her father. Right? Rashi says an amazing thing here, that if it's her din Torah, then she can invoke her cheskas haguf. But if it's his din Torah, right, then her cheskas haguf is not decisive. So this is part of the famous Yanai HaMelech story that the Gemara, maybe, that the Gemara speaks about in Kiddushin Daf Samech Vav. Gemara tells a story that, you know, they sent the Yanai HaMelech, you know, you grab the Malchus and you grab the Kahuna, and you're not even really a Kohen because your mother was a captive, she was a Shavoy. I have that here. In the continuation, I'm just not going to read it because I'm already running over time, which isn't fair. If you have Kiddushin Samech Vav Mun Aleph and then Tosis there on page 3, you can look it up for homework, I guess, the next 2 weeks. The way the story goes is, they said it wasn't clear what happened to Yanai's mother. She was a captive. And some people say that she became a halala, and therefore Yanai, the son, couldn't be a Kohen Gadol, couldn't be a Kohen. Couldn't be a practicing Kohen. And others said not. So the question that the Rishonim I'll ask, and others ask is, well, there's mixed evidence. So Yanai's mother should be given the benefit of the doubt. She had a presumptive cheskas kashrus, right? So as long as we know that she wasn't, you know, a psula, she was kshera. So if she's kshera, then Yanai should be kasher. Says Rashi, no. Because the Din Torah isn't about Yanai's mother. She has departed long ago from the world of the living. Where we're trying to figure out about Yanai's status. And if it's Yanai's status, then his mother's Keskes HaGuf doesn't matter. So the Bali Tosis and Kiddushin and Ksuvis say, why? Keskes HaGuf is an objective factor. Right? Who cares whose fate is at stake? Tosis here in Ksuvis on Ayin Vav Min Aleph actually isn't so sure about this, but goes back and forth. So that's one issue. That's with Keskes HaGuf. But the other issue is, whose Din Torah is it really? In the case of Yanai HaMelech, right, the cause was the mother, but certainly we're interested in the status of Yanai HaMelech, especially if she's not around. But if we're talking about the collection of the Dnei Ksuba, but for the Mumin, for the marriage, proper or improper marriage of the daughter, now it's true the father married her off, and he will collect the Ksuba Min Eirusin and not Min HaNisuin. That's all true. But who's the real Baldavar? Right? Is it really mana la'aba bi'adecha, such that you're again going to say what Tosa says, what Rashi says, which is, my cheskes haguf, or her cheskes haguf, doesn't work for him? The way Tosa has it, in the other daya, is, it's called bari al yedei acher. She says, this is my status. But she's not the baldavar. So it's bari al yedei acher. But is it really bari al yedei acher? The answer is, it depends exactly on the issues that we've been discussing. Namely, in this complex relationship of father and daughter, with respect to all sorts of different issues, knossos, different types of shavuos, maisei adayim, right? Kiddushin, nisuin, you might distinguish between kiddushin and nisuin. In all these matters, right, what is the exact shlichus? What is the relationship between the father and the daughter, and this is expressed in different ways in different areas in the halakha. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll try to pick up with the next topic when I come back in 2 weeks. In 3 weeks, after missing two shiurim, the topic of B'nai Banim, Kibanim, and